Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. It is your girl, Kendall Strample, aka Fierce to Fit. Today, guys, I would not be bringing you this podcast without the support of an amazing brand that has supported me through my journey with fitness. I started using them on my last competition prep, and it has seriously changed up my skincare and my confidence in the gym. Using Sarah Caroline has honestly allowed me to be a girl and an athlete at the same time in the gym. I especially love their tinted moisturizer because even during my prep, it was super sweat resistant. You guys can check them out at sarahcaroline.com and use my code KENDALL10 to get 10% off of your order. So a huge shout out to them. And now let's get into this podcast episode, guys. I have an amazing, amazing guest for you today, and I cannot wait to share our stories with you. Okay, guys, so today I have one of my bestest friends and a girl who has a very similar story to myself as far as recovery and competing. So like Sarah, we both went through an eating disorder and, you know, we're fortunate enough to recover and gain a lot of strength. And Sarah has a very unique story. It's actually pretty similar to mine, but hers is a little bit different. So we're here today to answer some questions that we got asked on our Instagram and basically share our experience regarding our recovery and bouncing back and really getting into fitness. So I would love you, Sarah, to go ahead and tell us a little bit about your journey and a little bit about yourself. Guys, just so you know, Sarah is 19. She slays life. She literally works full-time pretty much, goes to school, supports herself, moved away from her family. And so just like me, you know, that's pretty similar. So Sarah, if you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about pretty much how you got into fitness and how things kind of turned for you and where you're at now.
All right. Thank you, Kendall, for that wonderful introduction. So how I got into fitness, I was a classical ballet dancer my entire life, starting when I was 4 years old. My parents put me in ballet. I did all kind of dance throughout my entire childhood growing up. I did tap dance, jazz, ballet, but then once I was in, I think, middle school, I joined a ballet company, which I was in for 5 years. And if you're not familiar with classical ballet, basically you train in a barre class and you train 4 to 6 hours some days, like 6 days a week. And with a classical ballet company, there is a lot of pressure all around. It's a very high intensity training atmosphere. And there's a lot of expectation from your teachers, from your peers. You have to audition for roles and shows. It can be pretty competitive. And that's kind of where I first started noticing things about bodies and different body shapes and mine compared to others. And I think that's really where my start of my eating disorder happened. I obviously was not aware of it when I was at a young age, but looking back now, I can really see that's where I started having some issues with control. It wasn't too obvious, though, to my peers or to my parents or anyone because it was just the atmosphere I was in. A lot of people in the company had issues with their own bodies, comparing them to others. And especially wearing things like tights and leotards all day, it can be a very comparing environment. And then putting in high pressure situations where you're auditioning for roles against people, and sometimes it has to do with body image or body shapes and sizes, who gets those roles. It's a pretty intense environment. And being in that environment at such a young age, I now see how much that really affected me. So along with that, when I was, I think, 15 years old, I auditioned for the Moscow Ballet Academy, the Boston Ballet Academy, and the American Ballet Academy. I went to auditions in New York City. I went to auditions in Boston. I went to auditions in Massachusetts. And basically, I was told that I was strong. I was told I had great jumps. And I was told that I didn't have the right body type. I was told that my legs were too big, that they were too muscular, and that I looked like a gymnast, which obviously is not a bad thing, but as someone who's been,
that's so funny,
isn't it? Yeah, it's crazy. And at the time, it was like the end of my world because all I had ever done, like, I'd go from school to ballet to rehearsal. Like, the people around me, a lot of them very tiny, I mean, strong, but very tiny. It's a certain body shape that they look for, I guess, in ballet. It's changed a lot since then. I mean, that was like 5.5 years ago, basically. But in that environment, it was basically like the end of my world. And I was done. I was basically like, okay, I don't have the right body type. I'm not good enough. So I quit. And after dancing 4 to 6 hours every single day for basically my whole life, I didn't really know what to do after that. And so I joined cheerleading in high school. I was a sophomore in high school. And at this point, I think I was lost in a lot of ways. I wasn't restricting my food or anything like that yet, but I had an idea of what I wanted my body to look like, and it wasn't what it did look like. And when I joined cheerleading, there was a lot of like high school drama with that. And I really didn't like it. It wasn't the type of environment I enjoyed at all. I was always considered small, like in the world, like I'm a small person naturally. But being in that environment, and my first time, I just had transferred from like a private school, middle school, to like a public high school, like a huge high school. And I joined cheerleading, and some of the girls were really mean, and it was not a very good environment for me. So I turned to other things to get that attention that I wanted. And a lot of that was like trying to get attention from boys and flirting with a lot of boys. Thankfully, I never got into drugs or alcohol, but I really liked attention. And that's what I ended up getting caught up in for about a year. It was like partying and boys. And it led me down a path where I just like really didn't feel good about myself. And at that point, I was like, okay, I need to kind of get my shit together. So I got my first job, which was at a gym. And I got hired as a lifeguard at a gym. And so I was at a gym almost every single day. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll start working out. Like, this is cool. A lot of cute boys work out. Like, why not? And I started reading things like Cosmopolitan and Shape magazine. And seeing all these different like diets and things, which I never really thought about before. I was never really someone who thought about food much.
Right, but it's also part of our culture. It's like hard not to get sucked into it.
Exactly. And at this point, I started thinking about food a lot more because my mom is also a naturopathic doctor. So in my household, we focused a lot on holistic nutrition. We focused a lot on eating really, really quote unquote, healthy, nutritiously dense foods. And so it was always something that I understood and grew up around. I just never really thought about food in relation to my body before that. But then once I started reading all these magazines, I was 14, 15 years old. I took everything to heart. And
it's hard to not take everything in when you have so much coming your way, especially now with things exactly. Like media too. Like that's one thing that was a huge trigger for me. In my eating disorder, but reading like on the web, you see like all these different things, like don't eat this, that, and the third. And it's like, what do I listen to anymore?
So you just exactly. Yeah. I mean, so at this point it was before I had my social media account, but I started reading about all these different diets, and it was mostly like low carb, low sugar, don't eat fruit, eat however many blank little calories a day. And I was like, okay, what are calories? And then I started getting like hyper-focused on every scientific aspect of it. So I started like doing my own research. I started going on bodybuilding.com. I started watching people on YouTube, and I like got super sucked into it basically. So I was getting all this information from all different directions, just like Kendall said. And like the diet mentality is everywhere nowadays, especially in our society. And I was so susceptible to it because So in high school, I had like isolated myself from people because I just wanted like attention from boys, basically. So I was like the cute girl with boyfriends, whatever, but I didn't really have many good influences and really good friends at this point. When I was 14, my best friend in high school passed away from cancer, which I never really thought about how much that affected me, but obviously it was a big, big part of my high school experience, and affected a lot of friendships after that. And so I was working in a gym, I was working out, I was trying to manipulate my food. I started doing cardio, on like the elliptical and treadmill, and that turned into hours of cardio, and that turned into
it's like one of those things you start seeing minor results and kind of almost get obsessed with the process. And the thing is, like you said, which I'd love for you to go a little bit more in detail about, like one of the things I noticed when I was in my eating disorder was isolation. So I tend to, like, I literally lost all of my friends. Like, the one thing that I did do was I focused a lot more on school, which is a lot, is the opposite for a lot of people. But what kind of thing, what kind of tendencies did you realize were what really started like triggering you to essentially go into an eating disorder?
So I think my hyper focus on different things was something that was a tendency of mine when it came to eating disorder habits. So I would begin to research things, and then I would get hyper-focused on them, and I would do as much research as I could. And at this time, I wasn't really focusing on school. Later in my eating disorder, there was a lot of perfectionistic tendencies that I focused on, and I ended up excelling in my last 2 years of high school. But at the beginning, it was really just like about controlling my body, if that makes sense.
So for you, because I know this happens to a lot of people who have an eating disorder and who are finally, you know, get into recovery, when was rock bottom for you? What was like that breaking point for you where it was like, because I know, like,
I know, I have that exact moment. I was, so fast forward about a year and a half, I was restricting my food intake. I was counting macros. I was restricting my food intake. And I had a boyfriend who I'm still with at this point. It's been 4 years now. But I went on a family vacation to the Bahamas, and we stayed in a resort, and we didn't have access to all my normal food, all my normal gym routine, all my normal control. And it was very, very obvious how much it was affecting me, because I was so upset if I couldn't eat exactly what I wanted, if I couldn't weigh out my food, if I couldn't get to the gym at a certain time for a certain amount of time. And it made me an unhappy person. It made me unpleasant to be around. And I was just upset all the time in the Bahamas. And I was upset at my body. I was upset at my family. And my parents obviously saw that. My mom is actually a recovered eating disorder survivor, I guess I would say, and a doctor. So when we got home from that vacation, she basically confronted me about it, and I broke down and said, I'm not in control. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm so scared every single day. And she knew what it was, basically. Like, I feel like a lot of parents maybe don't understand what it means to be in that place, because you're not in control. You're out of control of being in control. I always say that.
I literally have goosebumps, because it's so crazy, like, how much of my story is similar. Like, I'm not sure if I've told you, Sarah, but for everyone else, like, I went to Spain on a 2-week trip, and it was like a 10-day trip. And they didn't have any of the food I wanted. I couldn't exercise. I couldn't, you know, like, we were walking every day, but that wasn't like lifting weights and doing like 35 minutes of like death cardio. And because I was so out of control, like, I literally lost my friends on that trip. I remember having like a crying fest with my, well, they were my friends, but at the time they almost wanted to let go of it because it's not pleasant to be around. And then when I came home, my mom, like, that's when I hit my lowest weight. My mom just looked at me and was like, we're doing something about this. And that's when I like poured my heart out to her too. And that's the one thing that, like, for everybody listening who's been through or is currently in an eating disorder, like, reaching out to somebody is so, so important. Like, that was the first step in me finding and seeking recovery.
Yeah, I agree. And at the point, I did not want to reach out. So I understand, because I'm sure you can understand how hard it is to do that, because you don't want to change. You don't want to change your routine. You want to control everything when you're in the middle of your eating disorder. That's what it is. And it's scary to accept that if you want to get better, if you want to survive, you have to ask for help. Because a lot of it comes from inner strength, but you need some accountability. Like, you need someone.
Right. And getting to the point where we're both at right now, I could say, is definitely something that's extremely hard. And a lot of questions that we got, you know, regarding like weight gain and recovery, which I think is important to talk about before we go into like how we got into competing and stuff. it's all about baby steps. Like for you, I'm not sure what you did, but for myself, I started actually not going to the gym. My parents took away my privilege of going to the gym, and that's why now I literally embrace the crap out of going. I love it. But at the time I wasn't.
But in a very different way.
Right, exactly. Like so different. But like I wasn't exercising at the time. So I do get a lot of questions regarding like, should you exercise during recovery? And I believe if you're at such a weight that your body can barely function, you should not be exercising. And I think when you reach a certain point where you're going into the gym to not burn calories, but because you genuinely love lifting weights or you genuinely love being in there and you're fueling your body to do it, that's when I think exercise is acceptable. Because a lot of people talk about amenorrhea, which is, you know, when you don't get your period, which I'm sure, Sarah, you went through like I did. And they say like, oh, should I get back into exercising after I get my period? Well, there's plenty of girls now who work out day by day and they are healthy. But they just, I mean, I don't want to say they're completely healthy, but they don't cycle regularly. So that's one thing I don't really think I took into consideration when I got back into working out.
There's also, I mean, it's so hard to like answer these questions broadly because they are so individualized. Like me personally, I am, and you too, we're both small people. So like our weight fluctuates regularly. And it's hard to say like what is a healthy weight because we all know that BMI is like bullshit basically.
Right. Yeah. Like when before I even had an eating disorder, I was like 110 pounds. And then after I was fully recovered, I was like 120. So it's like, yeah, I was restored, but like I was way overweight restored because I was also 3 years older. Probably.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, I was never what they would call critically underweight, I guess. So I was never like, I never needed to be like hospitalized, but I was still, I mean, I'm small naturally. I said that at the beginning. So it's like, it wasn't super obvious, like by looking at me that I was malnourished, I guess I would say, but I was like suffering and starving myself anyway. And so it really isn't like when you go back into the gym or you're, it's really isn't all about where you are, but just like Kendall said, like if your body is fighting you every step of the way, you should not be in the gym. You should not be pushing yourself. You should not be trying to burn calories, extra calories or anything like that. If you are underweight and your body is not functioning correctly, it just shouldn't even be an option.
Yeah. So for you, Sarah, because for me, it's a little bit hard. Like I feel like I repress a little bit of my recovery. That's just literally, I can't remember parts of it. And I think it, like I said, is a part of like repression. I hate to get into like Freudian theory or whatever it is, but literally. So for you, what were like the first initial steps after reaching out that you took to kind of get better, I guess you could say?
So the first step, my mom made me see a eating disorder specialist and nutritionist. And so I went through all those steps. I went in, I got metabolic testing done. I got my daily, total daily energy expenditure tested along with the metabolic testing. They saw that I was malnourished. They saw that I was deficient in a lot of different vitamins. And I was put on a meal plan, I guess you would say, but it wasn't, so I wasn't like hospitalized. I wasn't taken to in treatment, anywhere, but I was guided basically by a nutritionist. And at that point I wanted help, but I wasn't really ready to face the fact of how serious it was. So I was given a meal plan basically. And I was like, okay, new fun task. Let's hit this meal plan exactly. Like, let's be perfect. Let's eat every single gram of every single food that they give me. And so it kind of just turned into another form of control because I was given a plan and I followed it perfectly because that was my perfectionistic tendency and it wasn't mentally helpful for me. So yes, I was eating. Yes, I was fueling my body, but I really wasn't accepting of recovery. So I think fast forward like 5 or 6 months, I was seeing a dietitian once a week, whom I hated. I was going to therapy, which I hated. And then I was like, fuck this. Like, I'm not getting better. So at this point, I was very active on social media. I had a private account, but I connected with a lot of people. I followed a lot of other recovery accounts. I was sharing my journey. blah, blah, blah. I was doing all of that. And I realized that, and I was tracking macros. So my dietitian actually wanted me tracking macros and she wanted me hitting certain numbers. And I think she saw that it was like helpful for me to have that control, but I don't think it was necessarily the right way to go about it. And so just like with Kendall, it wasn't until I actually chose to like stop being perfect and like stop going to the gym every single day and like stop doing that on my own, basically. Like I was in treatment for like 5 months, seeing a weekly dietitian, getting weekly weigh-ins, whatever, making sure my weight was slowly incrementing up. But I had to choose to make the decision to like stop going to the gym obsessively, stop wearing a fucking Fitbit and counting every one of my steps every single day and my calories burned. And it takes a lot to get from a place controlling everything to slowly letting go of the control. But that's when I really chose recovery.
That's so crazy. I literally, you know, what was like rock bottom for me was sitting in a nutritionist's office with my mom and them telling me to eat a 15-year-old football player, a male football player's meal plan that was 3,000 calories after eating a mere 800 calories a day.
Oh, that's where I was too, girl.
And I'm so not against clinical, like, nutritionist, like, therapy. It does work for some people. But being brought up, like, my family's English, and, like, I feel like English people are just, like, very, like, against that kind of stuff. Like, my parents definitely wanted to fix things, like, themselves. I wanted to fix it myself. I didn't want to go the traditional route with like dietitians and all that. And then I sat in that office, and when I received that plan, I was like, this is some bullshit. If I'm gonna do this, I'm doing it by myself. So I just chose. And that's the thing, like you, Sarah, I shared my journey on Instagram, and I got a sense of community with other people who were going through the same thing as me, which is dangerous, by the way, because sometimes it does become a competition.
Yeah, eating disorders can be very competitive, so you really have to know yourself.
So I recommend for anybody who's currently suffering or, you know, kind of gets triggered easily, follow accounts that influence you to be better, not influence you to, one, go further in to your eating disorder or
compare yourself to others.
Which it's really hard not comparing yourself with social media, you know, but definitely like following accounts that give you positive influence is really important. So Sarah, you ended up, after recovering and everything, you ended up competing. Can you share a little bit about how you felt mentally after, you know, I mean, you probably like me got a lot of criticism for competing after an eating disorder, but how did you feel about going into that?
So when I competed, that was 2016, October of 2016. That was like a year and a half ago, basically. And I actually didn't get much hate, which is interesting. But at that point, I was tracking macros. I had a bigger community on Instagram behind me. Not big in any means, but like a bigger amount of people who knew me, basically, and like what I would consider my community. And I was a flexible dieter, so I was tracking macros throughout my whole prep. And honestly, for my experience with prepping, it was really good for me. And yes, when you get down to a level of body fat for a competition, it's not necessarily healthy at all. And it's not necessarily good for your body at all, but it showed me what an extreme is and why you do it. So with competing, it's a personal goal. That is why you do it. You make a goal and you follow through with it, and you follow a plan and you do it. And that's something that's really fucking easy for me. So I can follow a plan. Like, it's not hard for me. Letting go of control is actually much harder for me. But when I prepped, it showed me that I was following a plan for a set goal, and it brought me there. And after, I knew that I had a goal to increase my body fat percentage and get out of it. And it really showed me what an extreme is, and it showed me that it's totally different from what my lifestyle is.
Yeah.
And I really needed that.
Yeah, it's totally different than having the mindset where you're like, okay, I want to cut to look good. I think with competing, like, this is like a huge thing with why a lot of people who have had eating disorders like shouldn't necessarily compete unless they really do have the right mentality behind it. So for me, it's because it's a passion. I love the discipline. I love just being on stage. And like, also I love sharing my journey. Like I've only prepped once.
Yeah.
But you know, sharing my journey with my followers on Instagram and having friends who do the same thing as me. Like it's really awesome to be, like I said, a part of a community.
Yeah.
But now after competing, it can be a little bit tough, but this isn't just for competing. I definitely want to touch base on gaining weight and the topic of bulking. I guess a lot of people ask so many questions about the mentality behind gaining weight. And this goes for recovery, post-show, whether you don't compete and you just want to put on some muscle mass. So what are some of the things that you kind of dealt with mentally when you were putting on weight and putting on mass?
So after my show, I obviously had to put on weight and gain weight, and I did it very slowly, so I controlled a lot of the variables, and I did gain weight, but it wasn't a crazy amount of weight. It was maybe like 5 to 10 pounds, I would say, and I knew that I had a goal, so that's kind of what I tried to focus on. I mean, obviously, it's really, really hard to look in the mirror every day and see your body changing in ways that are not necessarily socially acceptable. And I think that was one of the hardest parts of gaining weight, was really just body image issues. It's really hard to avoid comparison, especially when you're on social media every single day. But I had a coach and I had a boyfriend and I had friends who understood, and they really helped just keep me in check with realizing that there is a bigger picture to all of it. And the thing that I like to think about a lot with any phase that I'm in is that nothing is permanent and that we're always changing. So our bodies are always going to be changing, and so are our mindsets, basically. So even right now, I'm trying to gain muscle, and sometimes it's really hard to look in the mirror after eating more food, because in my mind, more food is not, or it's so different, but it's still like, I still fight a lot of the same things. Like, right now, I could never ever see myself falling back into restrictive tendencies ever in my life. Like, I am at a place right now where I am so mentally healthy that I could never go back into an eating disorder tendency or eating disorder behaviors, but I do still struggle with the eating disorder thoughts.
Yeah, now see, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, the things that I really like, not, I don't even want to say dwell on, but kind of like thrive off of, is like, one, knowing that like I have a boyfriend and we can go out and get sushi, or I can go out and fit things into my macros and eat flexibly.
And he's going to love you no matter what.
Exactly. And just like, honestly, knowing that I can live a life that's more fulfilling. Like, I remember looking back when I had an eating disorder and sitting in my room, like crying and like writing in journals about like negative thoughts and all this stuff. Whereas now I'm doing things like writing affirmations and making goals for myself every single day. That's huge. Like, I wish more people set goals for the day, because right. When you're coming out of, you know, like, even now, like, I even make it a point to, a lot of people are like, oh, embrace your body when you're bulking. But, like, sometimes I'm like, you know what, I'm having a shitty-ass body day. I'm not going to look in the mirror. Like, why do that if I know I'm going to have abs? Like, I know it's exactly. So.
There's, and just- sometimes you just have to think about, like, it's so cliche because so many people talk about it, but literally think about it. In 10 years from now, we're probably both going to eventually want to have kids someday. We're going to want to get married. We're going to have a life. And none of that is going to be surrounded by how our bodies look. At this point, we are looking at our bodies in the mirror every day. We are going into the gym 5-6 days a week, and we are on social media all the time. Okay. And that is not where we're going to be in 5, 8, 10 years. That's not where we're going to be in 20 years. We're going to be in a house. We're going to have a family. We're going to have people who love us for nothing to do with nothing to do with what our bodies look like.
That's so true. So like the biggest thing I think for like, and piece of advice, Sarah, you can give your biggest piece of advice too with anyone who I think is either one, recovering and gaining weight, or two, post show, or just kind of bulking, is to focus on a goal, focus on one main goal that you have. And if that is weight gain, set some short-term goals each day and each week and each month to where you want to be. And that doesn't mean a number on a scale, by the way, because a lot of people are like, okay, I'm recovering, I have to weigh this, this, and this. Like, I honestly am not going to lie to you. It's not that I had a bad relationship with the scale. I just didn't step on it because I just didn't care. I genuinely did not care. And when I did step on it, I was like, okay. Because I had so many people around me telling me, like, you know, like a number on the scale doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Of course, if you're a bodybuilder, it's a little bit different. If you're prepping for a show, it's a little bit different. But I did actually avoid the scale for a little bit when I was recovering. So
My biggest thing is don't focus on like your number when setting a goal. Focus more on your mindset, how you want to feel mentally and physically. Because a lot of people focus on how they look rather than how they feel. And I think a feeling is so much more important when you're recovering, bulking, reverse dieting, rather than, you know.
Yeah, I completely 110% agree with that. And I think just going along with that is having a community and people in your corner who support that. Like I have you, I have other people on social media. I even have a coach who all understand that my goal right now is not to look a specific way. And it took me a long time to get to that goal because I still have a lot of mental goals that I'm working towards. So focusing exactly like Kendall said on that feeling, on like wanting to have the freedom, wanting to have the confidence, wanting to have the passion for the gym and living a healthy lifestyle is so different from having abs, you know, or like having a butt that looks a certain way or whatever that is. And so along with having like mindset goals and feeling goals, have a community and accountability that supports that. Because just like you can have accountability to eating a certain number every day, you can have accountability to not body check, not look in the mirror every single day and critique yourself, not have to have a certain amount of steps every single day, not have to, whatever it is. And you don't have to be perfect. And you can have accountability to not being perfect, especially if you are in recovery and want to have a healthy relationship with yourself in the gym.
Yeah, and in all honesty, like us sharing our stories, guys, just so you know, everyone's recovery is 100% different. Like I'm sure Sarah's was different than mine, even though we have pretty similar stories. Mindset wise, I'm sure we struggled different days, different things. You know, some people go as far as like splitting up the type of macro on the plate and they can't touch their food together. You know, there's certain things that people have tendencies doing when they have eating disorders, and we're all different and we all take different routes. Like me and Sarah, we just so happened to both count macros and it worked for us. I mean, now Sarah did take a part where she was intuitively eating, and that worked great for her. Now she's back on tracking macros. It's just a different part of her life. And same for me, I didn't track for a few months after I felt like I had gained weight and I felt confident and I was just working out because I loved it. We're all different and we all have, you know, whatever works best for you, which you have to find. That's the one thing. I think people are just looking for a specific answer when it comes to gaining weight and when it comes to recovering. But you have to find what works best for you, for your mindset and your body.
Yeah. And there's also, we get so many questions about eating disorder recovery, but, eating disorders manifest themselves in very, very different ways in different people. The fact that me and Kendall had very similar experiences is just basically like fate that we found a friendship within that. But like I never struggled with binge eating disorder, and I get questions all the time about binge eating disorder. And there's people who have combinations of different eating disorders. So your recovery, your path, and what how you have to go about recovery is going to be so different than anyone else.
Yeah, like I know a lot of people who've taken a clinical route and it's worked amazing for them, and I'm like so happy. So that's why I don't knock it, because I didn't take that route. I mean, I tried. It just didn't work for me, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Everyone's recovery is definitely different. So obviously we're not professionals. We can't tell you guys what to do, and we never would. But we just want to share our experience to kind of give you guys a little taste of, you know, how we recovered and maybe set you up for a good mindset.
And just know that it is possible and that you're probably going to work on it for a really long time. And we're still working on it. And we have bad days and good days. And body image is something that people who don't have eating disorders struggle with. So realize that, as recovering people with control issues, it's really, really goddamn hard, and it's going to take a long time, but it's worth it to keep fighting for it. So hold yourself accountable.
Right. And the fact that now, Sarah, you were able to like move away. I mean, I did the same thing. I'm living in San Diego. You're living in Seattle, where your parents are back home.
And I might be coming to you.
Yes. Now, see, this is the thing about recovery, guys. Like Sarah and me, we're so spontaneous nowadays. Like we, before we got on this podcast, guys, we literally talked about her just spontaneously taking a trip here to San Diego. Like
for like 3 days or like 5 days.
The thing is, during those days, we won't worry about food. We won't worry if we spend X amount of time in the gym. We have similar mindsets where we're probably
and passions, and it's fun.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what, you know, fit chicks do. Like, we just like eating good and go to the gym together. But
exactly.
It's a matter of like having that like spontaneous mindset and just being able to have fun with your friends and not isolating yourself. The biggest thing is in recovery, I know, even if you're not recovered, in the middle of an eating disorder, like isolation is like the worst thing that you can do because it just puts you further into depression, anxiety, and, you know, an eating disorder. So surrounding yourself with people is so important, and just trying to be more spontaneous, even if it means adding chocolate chips to your oatmeal in the morning.
Those baby steps every day seriously do make such a difference in the long run.
For real, yeah. So it's just a matter of every day challenging yourself for something small. Like, I remember I challenged myself to putting like banana on my oatmeal. Like, that is, or putting like,
it's so crazy to think about, like, where we were then versus where we are now. I just wrote a post on this yesterday. Like, I was so scared of eating, like, fruit and stuff. And now I eat, like, 3 apples a day sometimes, which is probably not the best thing for my stomach. But
Kendall, like, get 2 rolls of sushi, not 10. No.
Yeah, there you go.
It was the opposite. So it's just, you can find that light and you can really enjoy your life. Just taking baby steps is my biggest piece of advice. So, Sarah, if you could tell them one way for them to just, my podcast listeners, to strive for their strength in regards to weight gain, recovery, just life in general, what would that be for you?
All right, guys. To strive for your strength, make little goals every single day and believe that you can achieve them. Every single day, make a goal and believe that you can achieve it, and set intentions for yourself that affect you positively every single day. Because you know what? We can all be superwoman. We can all freaking crush it every single day. You just have to believe you can do it.
Right. And write them down. Even if it's in the
notes. Oh, yeah. In a caption. Instagram is my freaking diary. Use it.
For real.
Use it. Like, that's what it's there. That's what it should be there for. Like, you think I write these long ass captions every single day just because, like, it's a habit? No, it helps me. It gets those thoughts out of my head and it motivates me.
There you go, girl.
Make shit happen. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on my podcast, guys. If you don't follow Sarah on all forms of social media, I will put it in the description, but it's fit_and_dedicated, and she is amazing. She is a huge inspiration to me, and an accountability factor. So, guys, go give her a follow, and thank you again for coming on to the Strive for Strength podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Strive for Strength podcast. It is your girl, Kendall Strample, a.k.a. Fierce to Fit. Today, guys, I would not be bringing you this podcast without the support of an amazing brand that has supported me through my journey with fitness. I started using them on my last competition prep, and it has seriously changed up my skincare and my confidence in the gym. Using Sarah Caroline has honestly allowed me to be a girl and an athlete at the same time in the gym. I especially love their tinted moisturizer because even during my prep, it was super sweat resistant. You guys can check them out at sarahcaroline.com and use my code Kendall10 to get 10% off of your order. So a huge shout out to them. And now let's get into this podcast episode, guys. I have an amazing, amazing guest for you today, and I cannot wait to share our stories with you.